All right, Numbers chapter 21 tonight in our Bibles, the book of Numbers in the Old Testament, one of the books written by Moses. last Sunday, either Sunday morning or Sunday evening, I'm not sure which, I made mention of this brass brazen serpent that was put upon a pole, and I began to think about some of those verses that are given here to us. And so tonight I just want to comment on some of these verses and how that this is a very important passage of Scripture in the Old Testament, and it is like so much of the Old Testament. It is a story and gives us a typology of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we'll look at that tonight. So let's begin reading let's just begin reading in verse number 1. I was going to start in 5, but let's begin in verse number 1, and we'll read down through a few verses here. It says, "And when King Arad of the Canaanites, which dwelt in the south, heard tell that Israel came by way of the spies, then he fought against Israel and took some of them prisoners. And Israel vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, If thou wilt indeed deliver this people into my hand, then I will utterly destroy their cities. And the Lord hearkened to the voice of Israel and delivered up the Canaanites, and they utterly destroyed them and their cities. And he called the name of the place Hormah. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged." Notice those last words here, verse number 4, "because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses, Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, We have sinned, and we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he may take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said to Moses, Make thee a fiery serpent, set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass, put it on a pole, and it came to pass that if the serpent had bitten any man, when he had beheld the serpent of brass, he lived." This is a very familiar passage of Scripture. It is an account that the Lord even gives to us in the New Testament. There in John chapter 3, he says, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." And so there in John chapter 3, right there in the vicinity of John 3:16, we find that the Lord refers back to this passage that we have in our Old Testament Scriptures. And the Lord referred back to the Scriptures that they had in their possessions, because they primarily had especially the first five books of Moses and these first five books of our Old Testament, the Pentateuch. They used those extensively. They had the Psalms, and they had many copies of the writings of the prophets. And so when the Lord called their attention back to this account, they knew exactly what he was speaking of and how that the people had rebelled against the Lord, and he sent those serpents among them, and many of them died because of that. So I want us to look tonight just a little bit about this typology of the serpent on the pole. This brazen brass serpent that the Lord instructed Moses to put on a pole, lift it up, and then all that would look upon it, they would live. Now the reason for this account is because Israel was a very sinful people. We read there in the first few verses of chapter 21 where the Lord had delivered the people of the Canaanites into the hand of Israel. They said, "Lord, if you'll deliver us these things and these people, We will follow you. We'll come after you. And they did that for a while, and then they began to complain. And the scripture says here, the soul of the people was much discouraged. You'd think they'd be encouraged. The Lord has just delivered them from the Canaanite nation. You'd think there'd be encouragement in their life and joy because God has given them time, given them a way of escape from this heathen nation as they are traveling through the wilderness. But yet they are discouraged because of the way that they traveled, the hardships that were ahead of them. And so the Israelites were a very sinful people, and they really didn't appreciate what God had done for them. They had rebellion against God and God's man. The Bible says here in verse number 5, they spake against God and against Moses. And so they were complaining, they were arguing, they were speaking against, they were talking among themselves of how bad things were. And they were in rebellion against the Lord. He had shown His power in delivering them out of the hand of their enemies. Now they've turned their back upon Him, and they're complaining, and they're talking against the man of God, Moses, that has been chosen for them as their leader. And when everything was going well, Moses was a pretty good fella. But when things was hard and when they got discouraged because of the way, and Moses always got the brunt of the problem. And that's the way it usually is in even the situations of today. So they were a sinning group of people. They rebelled against God. They rebelled against God's man. And they really, truly, they owed their existence to Moses, humanly speaking, because it was Moses that had led them out of the Egyptian bondage. It was Moses that gave them a way of escape. It was Moses that the Lord had used to open the Red Sea, that they go away and go across on dry ground. But yet they were always complaining. They got over in the wilderness. They got over making their trip. They could have made that trip to the land of Canaan in about 3, maybe 4 days. But it ended up taking them 40 years because, the Bible says, because of their unbelief. They were disbelieving of the good things of the Lord. And here's just a little sample of the things that they complained against. And they became weary. They became discouraged because things were not easy as they thought it would be. They thought when they were delivered out of the Egyptian bondage, everything would be good. Everything would be rosy. Everything would be easy for them, but it wasn't that way. And so they began to complain against Moses, and in doing that, they were complaining against the God of heaven that had chosen Moses to be their leader and their director. And so they rebel against God, they rebel against Moses, whom they really should have appreciated all that he had done. Moses is always praying for the people of Israel. Moses is that intercessory prayer warrior for them. Not just here in this instance, in this case, but time and time again you'll find Moses praying and begging the Lord to deliver His people. There's a time when God said, I'll just let them die in the wilderness. And Moses goes before the Lord and asks Him not to do that and pleads with Him for the life of the Jewish people. And God hears Moses' prayer and delivers them time and time again. And we find here that Moses prayed for them. They go to him, and the scripture says that, and Moses, in verse number 7, and Moses prayed for the people. That's the same people that were talking against him just a few verses back. That's the same people that were despitefully using him and accusing him of getting them into the problem that they were in. Notice it says here, in verse number 5, they ask this question. Wherefore have ye brought us out of the land of Egypt in this wilderness? Why have you done that? Well, just a little while before, they were crying under the burden of Egypt. They were crying under the bondage of Egypt. They were in turmoil and dying because of the bondage that the Egyptians had put upon the people of the land of Goshen, the Jews, and they were crying out to the Lord to deliver them, and God delivers them through Moses. They get out there, and it's not as easy as they thought it would be, and they begin to say, why did you get us out of Egypt? Why did you take us out of out of the land of Egypt and bring us here into this wilderness. Other places they say we wish we were back in Egypt because we had leeks and cucumbers and the good things of life. And they forgot about all the bondage. They forgot about all the whippings. They forgot about all the death. They forgot about the struggles that they were undergoing because of the bondage of the Egyptian government upon them. And so they, every time there's a problem, they complain to Moses. And Moses always prays to the Lord. They are a complaining people, but Moses is a praying servant. He is a servant that is willing to go to God for the people, even though they don't want him over them at that moment, even though they talk against him, even though they complain against him, Moses is able to take his pride and swallow that and pray to God for even his enemies. So Israel, all the way through the wilderness, all the way through their history, have been a complaining people against God. They always wanted it good because we are our father Abraham. We're the ones that ought to have the blessings of the Lord. And when it didn't go as they thought it should, then they would work against the Lord. They'd work against God and God's men and God's people. So they were a sinning group of people. Threefold. I gave you rebelled against God. They rebelled against Moses. And then they rejected the light bread, the manna that God had sent them from heaven to feed them. They said, we despise this bread. They didn't want the gift that God had given them. And that bread, that manna from heaven, again, is nothing more than a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And was that which was given to them freely, without charge. And they could take it to themselves. They didn't have to buy it. They didn't have to work for it. All they had to do was go gather it. And on the day before the Sabbath, gather twice as much. And some of them didn't believe that, and they didn't gather, and they got hungry, and some of them didn't believe that it would spoil, and so they gathered more than they should have on those other days, and it rotted. And so all along the history of Israel, they just would not believe God. You know, they still don't believe God. They still have a problem believing the things of the Lord. So this group of people called Israelites, this group of people called the Jews, they talked against God. They spoke against Moses, the servant of God. They spoke against the light bread or the manna. The Bible calls it angel's food. They spoke against that which God had freely given to them to sustain their life. And they say here, we loathe it. Our soul loatheth this light bread. God would have had every right to just wipe them off the face of the earth. God would have had every reason to say, I'm done with you. But Moses always prayed for them, and God would hear his prayer, and he would spare them. So we have the Israelites that are a sinning people. Now, in verse number 6, we have the serpents, the stinging serpents that God sent to Israel because of their unbelief, because of their rejection, because of their speaking against the Lord. Verse number 6 says, and the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. The judgment of the Lord was upon them because of their rejection of everything God had given them. And God's judgment was very impartial. It came upon all of Israel. And this certainly is a type of who we are and the sin nature that we have. God's judgment was upon all. And we see this world today under the judgment of God. Every person living is under the judgment of God because we are all sinners. We've all sinned, just like these people sinned against the Lord. And so God sends these serpents that are stinging them, and they couldn't escape the bite of the serpent. They couldn't escape the sting that they had, just like no one will ever escape the sting of sin. No one will ever escape the bite of the wicked one. It is there, and God judges them, all of them, all together. And his judgment was very severe. They came within the company of the Israelites, the Jews. And the Bible says much people died. Many people died because of this serpent, these serpents that came upon them. The Bible tells us that the way of the transgressor is hard. No matter who we are, before we know the Lord Jesus Christ, our life is hard without Christ. The transgressor's way is difficult. The transgressor's way is hard. The wicked, the Bible says, is like the sea, always in an uproar, always churning, always coming in, going out. And that's the way God looks at sinful people, as a transgressor that is sinning against God, and his way becomes very hard. His way becomes very difficult, and sometimes they continue to rebel against the Lord. His judgment was not only impartial, not only was it severe, but it was fatal to some of them. Many of them died. And the only escape they had was to follow the direction that God gave them. The only way that we have escaped tonight is to follow the gospel, to follow the story of the death, burial, resurrection, belief, and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. And in that, we have life eternal. But we are stung by sin. We are guilty of sin. And our way without God is hard. And in the end, when we finish our life, then the Bible says that it's a sin unto death. It's a sin that will bring us down to destruction and down to a destruction that no one can cure, because after we leave this life, there's no second chance. There's no maybe hope so. There's no, well, I hope they do well. Well, I'm going to pray for them. Well, after they draw that last breath, it's too late to pray. It's too late. Judgment has already been meted out, and decisions have been made on this side of God's earth that will determine where we spend all of eternity. It's an amazing thing. It's a graceful thing that God gives us a few years that we have opportunity to determine eternity. We have years here upon this earth that can determine where we live all of our life, heaven or hell. There's only two choices. There are only two ways. There's a broad way that leads to destruction. And the Bible says few that go in thereat. Then there's the narrow way that leads to life eternal. And so the broad way is full. The narrow way is very difficult and few. And so we find that these serpents came upon the people because of their rebellion against God. Man has been determined as dead in sins and trespasses because of his rebellion against God, because he would not follow what God told him to. Very simple instructions in the Garden of Eden. You can have everything here except one tree. You'd say, wow. Wonder why they couldn't keep that commandment. Because we can't live up to God's standards. We can't live up to God's ways. God says you can, you have it all, but I've reserved one thing for me. And that tree you do not have. You do not eat of it. And so they failed. The serpent came and tricked and beguiled Eve, and she partook of the fruit. And when Adam saw that she had done that, he took it of his own self. Adam was not deceived. Adam was not tricked. Adam took it of his own free will, and the devil told Eve, said, "The Lord God said, if you eat that, you'd surely die." And I'm sure when Eve took that fruit, he said, "See there, you're not dying. You're not dead." Oh, but the process of death began in all throughout history. From the time we are born to the time we leave here, we're in the process of dying. We're in that process of wearing down. Oh, we come into this world very weak and dependent upon parents and dependent upon others. We become strong. We become our own person. And time goes on. Before long, we find ourselves becoming weak again. And the longer time goes on, the weaker we become. And the longer time progresses, the less that we can do. My problem, all of our problems, is up here we can still do the job, but out here we can't do it. I think I can do about everything I used to do. And in my mind, I can, but it just doesn't work that way anymore. And so we find that we're in the process of running down. That in itself is a argument against evolution, that evolution says we're getting better, getting stronger. Well, I don't know anybody getting stronger. Everybody's dying. Genesis chapter 6 mentions a lot of people, and the last thing said about them is that, and he died. The last thing to be said about you and I was, they died. And so here the process goes, and they're in the wilderness, and they've sinned against the Lord, and all these things are a type of mankind. It's a type of who we are and what we do. And thank God we have a loving Lord, and He brings upon them judgment not to hurt them, not to harm them, but to deliver them. And so the Scripture says here that the fiery serpent bit them, and much of Israel died. Now notice verse number 7. We'll read that again. Therefore the people came to Moses, and they said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he may take away the serpents from us." And Moses prayed for the people. Here we find the sorrowing Jews. These now are suffering from the bite of the serpent. They're dying everywhere. And so they come to Moses. They're feeling that the sting of that serpent. They are realizing they're dying, and so they come to Moses and they confess their sin. And it's just like us when we get saved. We realize we are stung. We realize that we're under the judgment of the Lord. We realize that we're a sinner, and so we come to the Lord and we confess our sins, and we cry out to the Lord. And that's exactly what they did. They cried out to Moses, and Moses prayed for them, and God delivered them. But when it comes to you and I here in the New Testament age, we realize our sinful condition. We come into the Lord. We realize that we are sinners that must confess our sins. The Bible calls that repentance, turning from sin to the Lord. And it's not preached much anymore, but it's still in the Scriptures, as it always has been. Without repentance, no man's going to see God. And so we find we turn to the Lord and we call upon Him. We confess our sins. We profess the Lord as our Savior. We cry out to God. And we have a Lord that will pray for us. We have one sitting at the right hand of the throne of God that we mentioned the other day that makes intercession for us. We cry to God in salvation. He saves us. We cry out to the Lord after we're saved, and He helps us. He takes our nature, and He helps us to live for Him. And so we have the Jews that are sinning against God, the serpent that comes in, and now here's the sufferers. And they said, "Oh, Moses, we've done wrong. We have sinned. We have talked against you. We've cried against you. We've cried against God." And they say here in verse number 7, "Pray unto the Lord that He take away the serpents from us." Moses, we've been crying against you. Now we're coming to you. We've been talking about you. We've been bringing accusation against you and against God. Now we're suffering because of that. Would you not pray for us? And Moses, being a wonderful leader that he was, the Bible says he prayed for them. He could have laughed at them and said, "Suffer your own doings." Rightfully so. He could have said, "I'm not going to worry about you. Every time we have a problem, you're always talking against God. You're always talking." He could have really been a hellfire and brimstone preacher against them and said, "There's no use and there's no way." But thank God for the grace of Moses. And he said, "I'll pray for you." And God heard his cry. God heard his prayer. So they came, they confessed their sin, and they cried out to him, and then Moses cried out unto the Lord. Now notice the answer that God gives in verse 8. Here is the symbolic serpent. "And the Lord said to Moses," He didn't say it to the people, He said to His man Moses. He says unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent. Set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. Here is the wonderful grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here is this brass serpent in the likeness of the fiery serpent that has been stinging the people and they're dying. And here God says, now Moses, you take a serpent, you make it out of brass, which brass is always a type of judgment in the Old Testament. You make it out of brass and you set it upon a pole and you make it in the likeness of the fiery serpent. Now the scripture tells us that Jesus came in the likeness of sinful man. He became a man, God, incarnate in the flesh, yet without sin. And so this fiery serpent, this brazen serpent that is representing the judgment of God upon them, is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, in that if they will look to this serpent, they shall live. Thank God tonight, one day I look to the Lord, I live. You look to the Lord and you'll have life and have it eternal. The brass serpent had been robbed of its sting here. It's just a piece of brass later on, is what Moses calls it. Natustai. And he said, just a piece of brass. But it's a type of the judgment of the Lord upon sin. The Bible tells us in Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 14, blotting out the handwriting of the ordinances that was against us. Paul says to the Colossae church, there was ordinances that were against us, but they've been blotted out. Thank God for the blotting out of that. That was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. All those things that were against the Jew, all those things that were against the Gentile, thank God they've been nailed to the cross. They were against us, and they were contrary to us. But the Lord took all those things, nailed it to his cross. And Colossians 2:15 says, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Thank God Jesus saves. Thank God we have victory in Jesus Christ. We have triumph. We have victory in the Lord. And all the ordinances, thou shalt and thou shalt not, all the things that man could not do, God says, Jesus nailed them to his cross, and now we have been triumph over that through him. The serpent was lifted up for all to see and accept God's deliverance. For there's life promised. Life was given to them, and all that looked, the Bible says they'd live. Now they didn't have to look, but if they didn't look, they'd die. They don't have to be saved today, but if they don't, they're going to die without God. The offering is there. The opportunity is there. The deliverance is there. The serpent, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. He's there, lifted up. And we see him dying on the cross of Calvary. And every man that will look to him, thank God, shall live. He that looks shall live. And that old song we sang just that first verse a while ago, look and live, my brother, look and live. I'm glad that we have a message, and that message is a message of joy and peace and hope of salvation. Now we find, as they look there and they live, we have that sure sound of salvation. He put it upon a pole, and they looked upon it, they live. And Moses made that serpent of brass, put it on a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. It was a suitable way of survival. Everybody had been affected by it, so now everybody can receive the deliverance from that. It's very suitable. The resource of grace. And God had provided a remedy to the poison. God had provided a way of escape. Thank the Lord we have that in our Lord Jesus Christ. Not only was it suitable, but it was sure. There's no question about the cure. God had spoken. If they look, they'll live. And when God speaks, then we know it's suitable. We know it's sure. And thank God they lived. It was satisfying. And they went from that point and they moved from there. That is the reading of those first nine verses tonight. Then the Bible says in verse number 10, the children of Israel set forward and pitched in Oboth. And they journeyed from Oboth, they pitched at Ajabarim in the wilderness, that is to say before Moab. Notice these words here, toward the sun rising. They were headed eastward. And they were pitching their tent as they headed toward the east. Look at verse number 16 and 17. And from thence, they've gone through some places, now they're moving. And from thence, they went to Beer, and that is the well thereof the Lord made unto Moses, gather the people together, and I will give them water. Then Israel sang this song, spring up, O well, sing ye unto it. Spring up, O well. Here they are traveling toward the sunrise, and they now find a springing well. Well, thank God, I know where we're traveling. We're traveling toward the sun. We're going the direction of heaven. And He's the well, water of life that springs up into us. Jesus told that woman at the well, said, if you take the water I give you, you'll never thirst again. It'll be water springing up in your soul. Thank God tonight, those of us that are saved, we're headed toward heaven, toward the sunrise, to where He is. And the well of God's fresh water springs up in our heart, our life, continually. And the Bible says here they sang a song of joy. What a joyful occasion. God has delivered. They rebelled. God delivered again. And they moved toward the rising of the sun. And as they move, God gives them water. God gives them that water that sustains life. And God gave us the water of life, Jesus Christ, that sustains us not only here, but thank God forever and ever, eternally in the heavens. Set that serpent upon a pole, Moses. My people have sinned. You have prayed. I have heard. And I'm judging them. But there's a way of escape. All that look shall live. And every one of them that looked lived because they had the sure word of God to guarantee to them life. You and I tonight, we have the sure word of God that guarantees us life eternal. And one of these days we'll set our foot in the promised land. We'll set our foot in the real land of God. And we're in the wilderness journey now. We're maybe fighting the battles. But one of these days we'll be home. One of these days we'll see the culmination of all the blessings that God has given to His people like you and I. Salvation full and free. And if we look, we shall live. Let's stand together tonight.